Welcome to the Best in Class podcast with JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, Sean Sullivan. He is fired up because this is all Bucks today. Sean is looking at the Buccaneers draft in detail after reviewing film of these guys even more, including the undrafted free agents, tryout players, all kinds of stuff here for you today. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Find them at BillCurryFord.com or a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Here's Sean.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. It is great to be back. The draft is over. We're going to have the whole summer to break down all of the drafts from every NFL team. Very exciting stuff, moving right into the training camps. Today, we are going to review every Buccaneers pick, and I'm going to give you information that is not easily found. And now that Bucs rookie minicamp is over, we're going to discuss how the player is going to be used in their first season. So that's very important information. That's why I wait a little while, so I can really watch a lot of tape on these guys and really give you the best of the best, because Joe Bucs Fan deserves that. First, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, which allows me to do the podcast. I'm very grateful to the Curry family with the new Giant. The new facility in Tampa is on fire. It's very impressive. It makes me very happy that the Tampa community has embraced it. Right now, we have Memorial Day savings where we're doing up to four times the rebate, the military active and retired rebate for anyone who served, including first responders. So Ford offers $500. Bill Curry Ford is giving $2,000 to any first responders, military personnel, active or retired. If you've ever served this country, Bill Curry Ford will honor you with up to a $4,000 discount on any vehicle that you choose, on top of discounts up to $10,000 to $20,000, depending on what vehicle you pick out. And also, we're doing 130% an up-to amount on Kelley Blue Book, depending on the shape and condition of your vehicle. So we have a lot going on this month. We are setting records daily. Our service department is the largest service drive in the United States, 67 cars deep. It is amazing. We have 16 service advisors to serve you, mobile service vans to do service in your driveway. That's done. You just go to the Bill Curry Ford website and schedule your mobile service, as well as we have 90 loaner vehicles. We have a very large fleet for our guests. So if you do come in and see this amazing dealership, you'll be able to leave in a loaner vehicle while your work is being done. Also, you can buy a car from your home or your office. If you don't want to come into the dealership, everything can now be done online and delivered to your home. We are trying to give the Tampa community the best first-class treatment that you've ever experienced in purchasing a vehicle. We're going to make it easy. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, X, and now TikTok, whatever it's called. All the social media sites, you guys know which ones they are. Follow them. And then if you want to email me any questions about this podcast, email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I have a couple to review during this podcast, but as we're going through the players, I'll answer some questions. So let's get started. So in the first round, the 26th overall pick, the Buccaneers selected Graham Barton, Duke guard, center. Very interesting pick because he wasn't supposed to be there at 26, and he was supposed to be a top 15 player, and we're going to go over why that is. It turns out that Graham Barton was the only center guard taken in the first round, and when it comes to offensive linemen, there's nothing for me to say or criticize Jason Light on, because his track record is unbelievable. I believe that he is the best GM in the business when it comes to evaluating the offensive line. He's just done it too well. So what's really exciting about Graham Barton is we're going to talk about a theme, and the theme is character, which is obviously Jason Light talks about a lot, but it's about bringing good people to our teams. It's about bringing captains and leaders to our team, and it's about bringing a physicality. And you're going to see in this draft as we talk, we're going to see some very physical players, and I'm trying to understand what Jason Light's trying to do. Is he's trying to give us an identity where he understands that probably to go deeper in the playoffs, we're going to need a more physical team, and he sees the teams that succeed are really not as finesse. I think under Tom Brady, we had our moments where we were a finesse team that was just extremely good and talented at each individual position. And now what I think he's transforming our roster into more of a very strong, physical, well-built football team, size-wise, strength-wise, I can see what he's doing, and I like it. And I really like the fact that Graham Barton's going to help us in the running game as well. So let's go over some stats that are so impressive about Graham Barton, right? So he's 6'5", 313. He ran a 5'3", 40. Some pro scouts have said that he's going to move inside to guard. That's ridiculous. He's not going to play guard. You drafted him at center. You didn't draft a guard in the first round because I think that Jason could have got a guard in the second or third round that could have started for us. I think what he wanted was a big, physical, nasty center, and he got him. And according to NFL Next Gen Stats, he had an 81 production score, which ranked first in the NFL draft for centers. His athletic score was a 92 at the NFL Combine, which ranked third out of all offensive linemen. And his total score of 90, which is very impressive, you don't see 90s very often, ranked him first at the NFL Combine in total athleticism and production. So basically, we got the number one center in the NFL draft who also can play guard and in a pinch can play tackle. Obviously, he's here to play center. He's going to start at center. Jason Light's already talked about it. And at the end of this, these draft picks, I want to talk about the criticism that the NFL has had on Jason Light in the Bucs draft. But I'm going to put a pin in that for now, and we're just going to move through the picks. And we're going to end our podcast talking about Jason Light. He was the only center guard taken in the first round. I talked about that already. He started as a freshman. So as a freshman, he came in as a three-star recruit. He started 13 games at left tackle. He was a first-team All-ACC. He was a first-team All-ACC last year again, started 9 games at left tackle. It's unbelievable that he has started as a true freshman. He never sat on the bench. Coming from Lance Zierlein, here's a couple of little things about his actually play. So he's an explosive drive blocker with the body control and leg drive to keep opponents centered and to finish his job. His hands are sudden, accurate, and strong in both phases. His fluidity creates an advantage at the second-level climber. He's highly capable in the screen game. Barton's technique, toughness, and athleticism are all exactly what teams are looking for. So one of the criticisms that we talked about with Hainsey at center was not that Hainsey was a bad center. It was that run blocking, he was really pushed off the line of scrimmage back into the running back. So it changed the running lanes. And he wasn't able to hold up, and I think it's just because of his size that he wasn't able to hold up against larger defensive tackles. And there's no better game to watch than the Carolina game last year, where basically he was disrupted on every snap. It was a painful game to watch for him, but I believe that we wouldn't have the same problem with Barton. I think that Barton is going to be able to physically move the defensive tackle or at least keep him at bay when the ball is hiked. He possesses bend core strength, the technique of an NFL starter. He's patient, but firm. He explodes into his blocks. I've seen that on film over and over and over again. As soon as he hikes the ball, he pushes forward. He creates space. He gets to the second level. He blocks linebackers. He gets running lanes for the running back. So we didn't get this guy to protect the passer because Hainsey did a very good job of pass protection. Barton was brought in to bring some nastiness to our offensive line, to bring in a run-blocking center to our offensive line, and it's very clear what we're trying to do from the front. Once he settled into defenders and run pass, he is the winner. This guy was a man-child as an 18-year-old, and he just got bigger and stronger. I can't wait for him to get into the NFL weight room with professional coaches and see just how much better he gets. Oh, I guess Lita Kemper's not a big fan of PFF. He's not, because some of the grading is done by non-NFL people, which is fine with me because this is not about grades. But the people who work at PFF, some of them do have NFL experience. Some of them are ex-scouts. And they do talk about who in the offseason improved the most after the draft on the offensive line, and the Bucs were finished in number one. So PFF ranked the Bucs as the most improved offensive line with Graham Barton going in as center, and we're going to talk about Klein later. One of the things that PFF talked about was that Graham Barton in the first round isn't just a good move because of his excellent college career. He earned an 88.7 grade over the past two seasons, which ranks him fifth overall over all players that were graded by PFF. His versatility, obviously, is a big deal because Light has always said that he wants offensive linemen that can play multiple positions on the offensive line, which was a huge thing. Let's talk about the relative athletic score. So I started this last year. This RAS website is amazing. So if you guys haven't been able to visit it, it's really worth the time. to look at your favorite players and look at how they measure up compared to other players at the same position, it's a score out of 10. So I've never seen a player score as high as Graham Barton. He scored a 9.99 on the RS scale. I've never seen it. So his height is elite at 6'5". His weight is average. Okay, so this is where it gets crazy, right? So his hand size is 9.3. His arm length is 32.8, which is a little shorter on the side. 33-inch arms is not anything impressive. But here's the elite stuff. He did run at his pro day a 4.97, which puts him in the top 8% ever to run at his size. His 20-yard split was 2.82, which that's a speed grade, which gave him a 9.85 percentile, and 1.68 10-yard split was 9.84. So when they basically those numbers are elite. So when they say it's 9.94 or 9.85 or 9.77, what they're saying is that's the percentile that he's in, which is the very top. There isn't anybody else that did better at his size. That's what's incredible about it. Now, agility is very important for an offensive lineman. He graded in the elite category. His shuttle was 4.55, which graded in the 9.20. His three cone was 7.31, which graded at 9.85. His athletic testing, like, it's off the chain. It's incredible. It's just speaking of him as a player, this guy just looks like a plug-and-play center from day one, and he shouldn't have been there at 26. I had him going in the 15 range. Everybody in the NFL had him going much higher. The fact that we didn't have to trade up to get a man of this quality, he wasn't even in my five picks that should have been there in 26. So the NFL draft with the quarterbacks. And by the way, I'm going to take a second here to talk about the fact that 6 months ago, I said this would be the greatest quarterback draft in NFL history and would set a record with six quarterbacks taken in the first round. I'm on record saying that 6 months ago. By the way, six quarterbacks were taken in the first round. Not only that, six quarterbacks were taken in the first 12 picks, which has never happened in NFL history. So not only was I right, I was correct about NFL history being made. So I'm tooting my horn because I got a lot of flack over the quarterback stuff from emails and text and Joe Bucks fan listeners. So yes, I am going to sit there and say, not only was I right about the quarterbacks, it set an NFL record for how many were drafted in the first 12 picks. So I'm very excited about that. In the 1983 draft, there was six quarterbacks taken, but it took 22 picks. So I'm very. This is like one of the most exciting NFL seasons in history for me. As a football fan, I can't wait to see all these quarterbacks play. It's just, it's very, very exciting for me. And I know that's a geeky thing to say, but I don't care. One of the things that I thought was interesting after going through his RAS score on Barton was ESPN producer Paul Hembrickides. I don't know how to say his name. I've never heard of the guy. He created a chart where it talked about hit and miss rate on NFL draft picks in the first round. And center was a 92% hit rate, which is very, very impressive. Offensive tackle was 59%, so half. Guard was 50%, so half. Linebacker, 48. QB, 46%. An edge rusher, which is obviously something that I really wanted and want to talk about because I think it's a weakness on our team. 44% of edge rushers drafted in the first round hit. So that's amazing. I think it's I love these stats. I think it's great. Out of the edge players, he actually judged 104 edges that were taking in the first round. That's by far the most players. Out of the centers, there was only 12 centers that he graded. Then out of the 12 centers, only one didn't get a second contract. That's extremely impressive. So Jason Light not only got the best player at 26 that shouldn't have been there, he got the most elite center in the NFL draft, ranked number one, captain of his team, started from a freshman. Apparently he's a very good human being, very physical, tough run blocker, and the hit rate on him is The statistics are telling us that he's going to be a star player for the Buccaneers. So congratulations to the Buccaneers and Jason Light for their first-round draft pick, Graham Barton. He's going to impact our team greatly. I do have a little note that I wanted to say. So the other two players that were on the draft board when we drafted Graham Barton that went directly after is Johnny Newton was one of the players that I was extremely high on. Basically, the NFL teams didn't release that he had a foot injury, which he's having surgery on. He had successful surgery on a couple of days ago. So that was medical information, which caused him to drop into the second round, which we wouldn't have as a public. You'd have to be an insider to have that kind of information. Also, one of the other guys, Darius Robinson, went in the last pick. So, like, right after. And Darius Robinson is a guy that plays edge and defensive tackle. So, I thought it would be interesting to keep track of some of the players that were on the board when Jason Light drafted and just follow their careers alongside the careers of who we drafted. I just thought it was interesting. I'm making my little notes, and I'm going to follow those guys. So if you want to email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com, if you have another player that you want me to track during the season, I'd be happy to do that and then bring it up in the podcast. So Chris Braswell out of Alabama was our second-round draft pick, 57th overall. Pass rusher, was made to play outside in a 3-4. So far, this is the pick that has been panned by the national media as – is a very risky pick. I've seen him as low as a fourth-round grade. I've seen him as high as a first-round grade. So it really just depends on the defense that you're playing and what you're trying to get out of an edge rusher. So it's just about fit, right, with Chris Braswell. I have watched so much tape on Chris now. I've watched his games. So I think I'm pretty much an expert on his career at Alabama. Let's go over his RAS score. So, you know, he's 6'3", 251. So I read an article that he put on some weight, that he added about another 6 pounds of muscle. So he's about 256, 258 that he came into rookie training camp. So his size is poor, according to RAS. So 6'3", 251, 256 is a little bit better scoring system. But he ranked 2.85 out of 10 and a 5.22 with his height. So obviously as a pass rusher, they like him to be a little bit bigger. And his hand size was 9'3", which is great. His arm length is 33.25, is okay. It's not spectacular. Composite explosion, they gave him a good grade. So his vertical was 33.5, which put him in the 7.10, and his broad jump was 9.7, which put him in the 6.25. So his rating for explosion was just good. So his size poor, his composite for explosion was okay. It's good, right? This is where it gets better. So I don't want to put everybody down, right? Let's talk about his 40-yard dash time at 4.6, put him at 9.61. That's elite. That makes him one of the fastest players at his size in the NFL Combine at any position. 20-yard split, 2.68, put him in the 9.36. The 10-yard split, 1.59. That is unbelievably impressive at 9.50. So we are saying, Sean, what do these elite scores have to do with him being a pass rusher? It has to do with the fact of how he can move from the edge to the quarterback and get behind the line of scrimmage. The 20-yard split and the 10-yard split, especially the 10-yard split, to me, is extremely important. And the fact that he's a 1.59, it might be the fastest time I've ever seen. I wish I had more time to research that, but on top of my head, I'm going to tell you that that's extremely impressive. His overall score, it was 8.67. Now, Chris Braswell is a physical specimen. I actually read several breakdowns of Chris Braswell where they said, well, he needs to have better upper body strength, and he needs to have this, and he needs to work on that. Those guys are frauds. Guys, I read a lot of frauds when I'm doing research online. It's people who actually don't do any research and then kind of just throw in generic sentences for people that they don't want to pay attention to or have time to look at. I don't do that. The reason why it takes me so long to do my stuff is because I do an amazing breakdown. I go through a lot of information. I watch snap, snap, snap. I watch every game of every game played of every week in the NFL. So there's a reason why I put this effort in, because I'm passionate about it. And when you read that he doesn't have a lot of strength, and you think in the idea that he's one of the strongest players to come into the NFL at his size, makes me think that those people are just calling it in. I don't call anything in. Everything I give you is out of passion. NFL has his production score at 72, which ranked him 9th overall in the defensive line and edge. Athleticism score is 74, which ranked him 11th, and his overall score of 73 ranked him 8th overall out of all defensive tackles and defensive ends. In 2020, he redshirted. In 2021, he played in all 13 games, had 13 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a blocked kick. In 2022, again, he was still behind some top NFL talent, which obviously we're going to talk about. You know, the Houston Texans drafted the Defensive Player of the Year. And then this year, Dallas Turner was also a guy that was in front of him, who was a number one draft pick by the Minnesota Vikings. So in 2022, he played in all 13 games. Again, still as a reserve, 21 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, and a forced fumble. In 2023, he led the team with 3 forced fumbles. He played in all 14 games with 2 starts. So he was a situational pass rusher. 42 tackles, 10 tackles for loss with 8 sacks, an interception return for a TD, and a blocked kick. One of the nation's best high school recruits. He was near a 5-star recruit from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore. He had offers from every top program. He is one of the best speed-to-pass rushers in the NFL draft, and I'm going to talk about his power in just a second. That speed-to-power rush is going to, in that 10 cone, it's unbelievably impressive. His legs are the most powerful part of his body, and the way, and if you watch him on film, you can see that he runs through blocks, and he did that at rookie minicamp, and we're going to discuss that as well. But it's been pretty impressive to watch his strength. And Bruce Feldman has this thing called the college football freak list. I was talking to Lee DeKemper about it. I found it the night of the draft when I was doing research on Chris Braswell, trying to find anything in the background like his captainship or like what he did at Alabama off the field. And I thought it was amazing that I saw him, that he was ranked number 10 on the freak list. And he squats 705 pounds, power clean 405 pounds. And when you see strength like that, you're going, okay, everybody who writes that he needs to get into the gym is ridiculous. The guy is a gym rat. He is extremely strong. I also thought it was interesting that he was number 10. Do you Buccaneers fans want to know who number 9 was? Can't see. Our first round draft pick last year. So I just think that's really interesting that Jason Light drafted number 9 and number 10 on Bruce Feldman's football freak list for movement and strength. So it's not just about how much they can move. It's about how much weight they can move. It's about how much of an athlete they are. And his vertical jump was 38.5 inches, which was impressive to Bruce Feldman for his size. And then Kancey obviously is an athletic freak for his size. I'm looking forward to him getting to that 10-sack plateau this year. So basically, I had a couple more stuff on him from Bruce Feldman. One of the things I thought was really interesting, that besides his great burst off the line, GPS had him clocked at 21.9 miles per hour. That is the fastest time for a defensive edge player in college football last year, 21.9 miles per hour. Now, this is according to Nick Saban. He did an interview a couple of days after the draft talking about Braswell, and he said that Braswell is a really good player. He's a great pass rusher. He can turn speed into power. He can make big-time plays. Saban is now on ABC's NFL draft coverage, and Braswell, he's got a little bit longer arms than average. He plays the weak side shoulder. He can play standing up. He can play with his hand in the ground. And then Nick Saban said that he can drop back into coverage, which is something that we've seen Joe Tryon do, that they do in this 3-4 defense, where they drop some of these ends into coverage. And because of his explosion, he can do that as well. For those of you, during Bucs minicamp, Lee DeKemper talked about watching him stiff arm an offensive tackle right out of the play. And if you watch his tape over and over again, you basically see these moments of incredible strength where he just throws the offensive tackle out of the way and goes right, like a heat missile, goes right after the running back. So even though he only had 8 sacks, he had tackles for loss, but he really disrupted a lot of run fits. So, like, I'm going to go in here and tell you that right now I think he's going to struggle with the run in the NFL. It's not just about diagnosing it. It's about the fact that he does have a pass rusher's mentality, and I saw him run by the running back on several occasions. And, you know, it's one of the things that drove me crazy about Gerald McCoy, and it drives me crazy about Joe Tryon, is their speed to burst is so good that they sometimes run past the play instead of, like, diagnosing the play and go, okay, is this a run play? It's on the opposite side, so let me take a different angle. There's no reason to run towards the quarterback. I need to be running towards the tight end. So I'm hoping that, you know, that cleans up with coaching. But let me just tell you something about this guy. I watched him with this athletic ability, and then I watched him get lost in games where you can't see him. So I think that the reason why he gets such a low grade as a pass rusher coming in, and the NFL is like, oh, this is really a hit or miss pick, is only because of the fact that he was not a starter. He was a situational pass rusher. He does play the run. I think it's a weakness. I heard several gentlemen in the Tampa Bay area discussing Chris Braswell and about how he is a good run stopper. I don't know which film they're watching. I don't know if they're watching film. I don't know if they're just repeating something that they got from somewhere else, but he's not a good run stopper. He can play the run, and he does get tackles for loss, but routine plays, I didn't see him making routine run plays, but he also wasn't on the field for those. So basically, if you're saying that he is a good run stopper, you're just projecting his athletic talent into the NFL. You don't have any basis for that other than just a projection. His dropping into pass is coming from Nick Saban, because I didn't see him drop into pass in lanes in the Alabama tape. So again, I think that some of these things we're talking about are just projections. My biggest concern with him is his pass rushing moves. I didn't see a ton. He basically wins with strength and his burst, and that can only take you so far in the NFL, because every single offensive lineman that you play in the NFL is the best offensive lineman you would have played in college, and you don't get a day off. You don't get to play in a game with a weak side right tackle or left tackle in NFL. They're all good. So he's going to have to come up with some more pass rushing plays. And as far as starting, I said Graham Barton is a starter from day one. I don't think that Chris Braswell starts from day one. I think he's going to be in a rotation with Randy Gregory. He might work his way in, but I would prefer them to bring him along a little bit slower and just use him as depth and some pass rushing downs, because it's very difficult for edge rushers as a rookie, and that's a fact. Other than like Hutch and a couple of these other guys like Boza and stuff like that, it takes them a few years to really figure out how to rush the passer. Yaya Diaby is one of those guys who used his strength when he first got on the field, and he wasn't double teamed, and you could see that he was getting to the quarterback, and you could see he was disruption. If you watch the latter part of the year, he was not as effective. It's because the NFL teams had tape on him, and they were chipping him and getting people in front of him, and they started making him a focal point. And then Joe Tryon couldn't get to the quarterback. So, you know, that's the thing, is you need to have somebody that doesn't allow all the attention to go on Yaya. And Randy Gregory and adding Chris Braswell is going to help in that situation, but we'll see how it goes for that. Another point that I wanted to make is what Chris Braswell, talking about character that Jason Light's looking for. Chris Braswell was asked, why did he stay as a five-star recruit at Alabama? Because, you know, he had Will Anderson in front of him, and he had Dallas Turner in front of him, and he wasn't getting the playing time that he deserved, you know, from a five-star recruit. And you know what he said? He said, because I gave my word when I committed to Alabama, and that means something. So he didn't transfer. He didn't go into the portal. You know, he didn't go to Nick Saban and complain. He did his job. And that speaks volumes to me. So whether I like this pick or not is irrelevant. I wanted a pass rusher earlier in the first round, but all four pass rushers that I wanted were gone before the Bucs picked. So Graham Barton was the obvious choice for that position. And Chris Braswell wasn't one of my favorite pass rushers in this draft, because I think that he's extremely raw, and I think he needs a lot more starts. But I do like the traits. But for a man to go up there and say, I gave my word to Nick Saban and I honored it, you know, just tells me how much I want to root for him as a fan. And I hope Joe Bucs fan listeners are listening, because this is a guy worth rooting for. And I hope that extra 6-7 pounds that he put on is going to help him get stronger and shed some more blocks. All right, with the next pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drafted a defensive back, Tyke Smith, in the third round with the 89th overall pick. Tyke Smith, to me, is an unbelievable talent. He's being knocked because of his height, and we're going to go through that. But as a football player, he's top-notch. Next-gen stats, he had a 75 production score, which ranked him second amongst all safeties, corners. And when I say corners, it's not outside corners. It's going to be slot corners at the NFL Combine. His athletic score of 72 ranked him ninth, and his overall score was third as defensive back. So that's very impressive. In 2019 at West Virginia, he was a freshman All-American. So he played in 12 games as a true freshman. He had 53 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 1 return for a pick 6. Now, this is as a freshman. In 2020, as a sophomore at West Virginia, he was a third-team All-American. He was all Big 12 conference mentioned player of the year. So he was in the talk. Played in 10 games with 9 starts. He had 61 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, 5 pass breakups. In 2021, he played in 1 game as a reserve for the national champions, 3 tackles. So he transferred to Georgia, obviously, in 2021. He missed a start of the year with a broken foot, and he tore his ACL in practice. So he missed all of 2021. 2022, he started 4 of 14 games, and he played for the national champions again. He had 28 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks as he was coming back from his ACL. In 2023, he was 100% healthy. He was second-team All-SEC. He led the team with 70 tackles. That's pretty amazing. 8.5 tackles for loss. He started all 14 games. He had 2 sacks, 4 interceptions, and 2 pass defense. Now, the thing about this is we're going to continue. Again, we talked about Graham Barton being a physical freak. He was the number one physical freak at the NFL Combine with his RAS score. Chris Braswell was a freak on the list of how much weight he can move, that he's a workout physical wonder. Again, with Tyke Smith, we're going back again to another athletic freak. As far as physicality, he's just a very, very physical person. And going back to Chris Braswell, I watched Chris body slam a couple of people, but his physicality is not going to translate 100% to the NFL. He's going to have to clean that up a little bit. Tyke Smith is another one that's going to have to clean up some of his physical play because it's going to get flagged in the NFL because, as you know, the NFL is going soft when it comes to keeping the players healthy. And we drafted between Braswell and Tyke Smith, we drafted guys that are going to punch you in the face. And like I said, you can't suplex or spear players in the NFL. You're going to get caught, and in college football they might miss it. They're not going to miss it in the NFL. His RAS score is 7.17, which is not impressive. But I'm going to tell you what is impressive in a minute. But let's go over the bad side of why he fell to the third round. His 9-inch hands are terrific, though. His arm length at 31.6 is very good. His height, he's 5'10". That put him in the bottom 1% at his position. His weight at 202, again, extremely light. He's in the 6th percentile. Composite explosion grade, he was good. So he had a 36 vertical and a 10-foot broad, which is okay. Not great. His 40-yard dash time at 4.46 was 9.04, so it put him in the upper 9%. For 40-yard dash, so he's very fast. His 20-yard split at 2.61, his 10-yard split at 1.58 was a 7.05. Just to give you an idea, the 10-yard split with 1.58, Chris Braswell was 1.59, and he's a much bigger player. So just to keep that in mind as we're talking. So athletically, the one thing that's elite about Tyke Smith is his 40 time. So let's talk about what NFL Buzz said about him, because I wanted to give you guys some positional awareness. So high IQ, excellent awareness and coverage. He recognizes his routes both man and zone, so he can play both, which is a huge Bowles thing. Strong physical presence and run defense. Listen, when you watch this guy's tape, when you think about him, Whitehead, and coming down the field, like going downhill, they're going to kill you. Putting him on the field with Whitehead, I understand what Todd Bowles is talking about when we're going to be more physical. And then Winfield can also bring it. I'm hoping that he doesn't because he had 3 concussions. I'm hoping that he's more careful with how he tackles. But between Whitehead and Smith, oh my gosh, we're going to be killing people out there. He's a versatile player. He can play both safety and slot positions. I believe that he's going to compete day one for the slot, and I think he wins the position easily because I think he's that talented. I don't care about his height. He has ball skills. He can intercept the ball. I told you he had 11 interceptions, 2 for touchdowns over his career between West Virginia and Georgia. Very smooth backpedal, which I've talked about the backpedal when I did my breakdown at defensive backs for Best in Class. Like, there's so many players that can't backpedal. He's an excellent backpedaler. Strong tackler, fits Todd Bowles' defense to a T. You could not, and he's a special teams player as well, you cannot have picked a better player for a day one starter for the Buccaneers. When Jason Light drafted him, it's pretty much a no-brainer because we drafted a guy that fits exactly what we're trying to do on defense. He's going to be just a plug-and-play guy, super smart, championship experience, started since a freshman, which is really strange. If you think about Graham Barton started as a freshman too. So you have 2 guys between Graham Barton and Tyke Smith that started as freshmen. Kirby Smart, the head coach of Georgia, was talking about Smith, and he said he was very happy for him. He worked hard. He worked through his ACL injury. Sometimes it takes 2 years to come back from that. He's a guy that first year back, he wasn't able to play, but then he had an outstanding year last year. As he was expected to. He ran extremely well, and he's one of the most fierce competitors at Georgia. So that tells you a lot about how well he was respected by his head coach and his players. But again, between Brand Barton's day one starter, Tyke Smith, I think, wins the job and is a starter through training camp. I think Chris Braswell is not going to be a starter. But out of the first three picks, getting two out of three is pretty impressive to me. Let's move on to the third pick and another third-round pick, number 92, Jalen McMillan out of Washington. So Jalen McMillan is a very interesting story. I really loved the fact that a lot of people are calling this the Bucks' best pick in the nation. Like, a lot of the pundits are saying that this guy was a solid high second round receiver. He should have been in the talks as a top 10 wide receiver. And we're going to go over that why on Jalen McMillan. So he's, according to NFL Next Gen Stats Reports, he's 6'1", 32-inch arms, 197 pounds, 10-inch hands. 10-inch hands is awesome, guys. It's awesome for anyone, especially a wide receiver. He was number 67 in production score, ranked 26, and that's because he had the knee injury this year, so that's what's going to happen. But his athletic score was at 78 from Next Gen Stats, which put him at 20th, 73 overall because of his production score. So those are misleading numbers, but I'm going to go through them on every single person. So here's the draft combine at RAS, relative athletic score. Jalen McMillan scored a 9.33, which is really, really good. Hand size was 10. We talked about that. Arm length, 32. We talked about his height and weight already. Let's talk about his explosiveness. His vertical was 37. His broad jump was 10.7. So if you think about that, that puts him in the top 9% in wide receivers. His composite speed grade at 4.47 puts him at 8.21, which is great. His 20-yard split, not so good, at 2.61. His 10-yard split at 1.53 put him in the top 9% in the wide receivers that were measured. His cone, his shuttle was 4.18, and his three cone was 6.94. Those are okay numbers, not terrific. So his overall score of 9.33 is terrific, though. In 2020, he played in three games as a reserve. He basically caught a couple of passes, nothing major. In 2021, he played in 11 games with 9 starts. He had 470 yards on 39 catches and 3 TDs. In 2022, this was a big year for him. He actually had better stats than his fellow receivers, which is Polk, who we talked about, in Ndunze, who was my favorite. I think Ndunze is just an unbelievable talent. But he had better stats in 2022. He was an All-Pac-10 conference player. He led the team with 79 receptions for 1,098 yards, 13.9 yards per reception. He had 9 touchdowns. He played in all 13 games, and then he had some rushing stats. He rushed for another 70 yards, which is pretty good. Then he had, last year, he only played in 11 games with 7 starts because he was nursing a knee injury. He still had 45 catches, 559, and 5 TDs. If you guys watched the Michigan National Championship game, he was their leading receiver. So it looked like he was back to normal. I want to talk about what McClendon said about McMillan. And this is one, I'm just going to read his quote. If he didn't get nicked up, he probably would have fallen to us in the third round. McClendon said that via the team's official network, we were really fortunate to get him. But the thing you like about Jalen is his position flexibility. He is a guy that can play all three spots, the X, the Z, and the slot. He gives you comfort that whenever you need to watch this kid, he can get on the field fast, and he can follow the plays, right? When you watch him on film, you see the ability to beat man-on-man. He makes contested catches, and he gets yards after catch. So that came, obviously, from the Buccaneers wide receiver coach. That was a direct quote after he was drafted. Buck's minicamp things to talk about is he was lining up with in wide receiver 3 sets. So basically, our new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, is doing a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, and he has McMillan in there. So I think Godwin stays in the slot, and I think Evans stays on the outside. I think McMillan for now is going to play on the outside and compete with Trey Palmer for some playing time. Speaking of Trey Palmer, I'm going to take a side note here, Steve, and recognize a Joe Bucks fan listener who wrote me an email and was basically calling me out on Trey Palmer's time at Nebraska. And I wanted to make sure that my point was cleared up. I said during the annual NFL podcast that I didn't think that Trey Palmer was used correctly his senior year at Nebraska, and that he didn't get an opportunity to really showcase his 5-star ability. And then I got an email from a Joe Bucks fan listener who is a big Nebraska fan that was talking about how Trey Palmer had over 1,100 yards his senior year, which was a Nebraska record at wide receiver, that he was the focal point of the offense, and that the quarterback, he was the quarterback's favorite target. First of all, he's 100% correct. But I don't think I got my point across what I was trying to say. Not that he wasn't used properly at Nebraska. I just want to clarify this point. Nebraska is not LSU. I felt like if Palmer had stayed at LSU, that he would have been in a better offense. He would have had better quarterback play. He would have, and then I'm talking about NFL quarterback play. He had NFL coaching, and he had a draft room full of other five-star recruits. I felt going to Nebraska, he was the biggest fish in a small pond. And now the Nebraska guy can argue with me and tell me that Nebraska is a powerhouse, and but they're not. So I want to say that he is 100% correct. I should have really talked about more in depth, but we were moving pretty fast. But what I was just trying to say was I felt like Trey Palmer's time would have been better spent at LSU, and I think he would have been a higher draft pick in the sixth round had he stayed at LSU and worked inside the LSU numbers. He would have had more eyes on him as well and better coaching, and who knows what would have happened. But again, I just want to acknowledge Joe Bucks fans for thank you for emailing me and setting me straight and asking me questions and telling me to elaborate on some of my points. So I love the interaction, good or bad. So thank you very much for that. This is coming from NFL Draft Buzz on Jalen McMillan. Lean build, elite speed, and burst off the line of scrimmage. Very similar to what Trey Palmer does. He was the fastest in NFL off the line of scrimmage. He has an amazing route run tree, which we've talked about. His route running is going to be exceptional. That's why I don't like the comparison between McMillan and Godwin. Godwin is a great physical blocking wide receiver with great hands. I don't think his route running ability is anything special. When you watch Chris Godwin run routes, I think sometimes he's not exactly where he's supposed to be. McMillan is, I think, completely different. I think McMillan is not as a physical wide receiver as Godwin. I think he's more of a technician, and I think he's going to be a really great route runner, and he does not have the hands that Chris Godwin has. So I don't like the comparison at all. So for those of you who are making that, please stop. I think that he demonstrates a keen sense of spatial awareness, skillful navigation to the field. He eludes defenders, consistently creating separation. He showcases sophisticated route running, which we just talked about. He's a polished route technician. So this came from NFL Buzz. So as far as McMillan is concerned, third round value, second is really, really good. He's a very, very good receiver. He might be underrated, but let me just put this in perspective for everyone. All NFL teams know that he had a knee injury his senior year. Everybody knows that he struggled with it, and yet he still fell to this round. It wasn't like the Bucks were the only person that knew that he suffered from this knee injury. Every NFL team knew it and still didn't draft him until the third round. So my point is he a steal or is he a third round draft pick? I don't know. I'm really hoping that he gets into the mix and has a great season, and I support him. And again, he's another high character guy, according to his teammates that Jason Light brought on. In the fourth round, number pick 125, Bucky Irving out of Oregon. This is a tough one for me. Let's go over his stats real quick from Next Gen. So he's 5'9", 20-inch arms, 192, 9.5-inch hands, 5.87 overall grade, 78 production score, which ranked him third out of the running backs. Athleticism, he was a 65, which ranked him at the bottom, 24th. At total score, 76, ranked him sixth, and that was because of his production. He had amazing production. At Minnesota in 2021, he led the team with 966 all-purpose yards in 12 games as a reserve. He had four touchdowns. In 2022, he was an all-honorable mention, Pac-10 12, All-Pac 12 conference, led team with 1,058 yards rushing, 6.8 yards per carry, and 5 TDs. In 2023, he was a second-team All-Pac 12 conference, led the team with 1,180 yards rushing, 86 carries, 6.3 per carry, which is anytime you're over 6 yards in college, that's really what you're looking for because that should translate to at least 4.2 in the NFL. Tied for the team lead with 11 rushing touchdowns, started all 14 games, and as a receiver, he had 413 yards. So Bucky Irving is a receiver playing running back, just like Rashard White. They're very similar that both of them can catch the ball. It looks like Liam Coleman's going to do a lot of screen with his offense. You didn't draft Graham Barton not to do that. It's not just about running, but your screen game. Bucky Irving is a great screen player. He makes the first player miss consistently on his tape. His RAS score, so he had an RAS score of 2.28, which is out of 10, which is going to put him as one of the worst athletic running back scorers in the NFL combine. 5'9", at 192 pounds, he ranked last. Composite explosion grade, His vertical was 29.5, which ranked in the bottom 1%, so it's awful. Broad jump was 9.7, which ranked in the 4 percentile, which is awful. So he's the first player that we've drafted so far that has all red, like poor rankings. His 40-yard dash time of 4.56 put him in the middle of the pack. His 20-yard split was 2.66, which put him below the middle. His 10-yard split at 1.61 was 5.28, which put him right in the middle. Really, the athletic testing is extremely poor. So not only is he smaller than most running backs, his athletic score is not. So normally when you draft a player like Tyke Smith, who's going to be on the shorter side because that's where he fell in the draft, his athletic score is extremely high. That's typically the way it works, is if you draft a player with shorter arms or height or weight, they're usually athletically gifted. So we drafted a guy that was shorter and smaller and not athletic according to the scoring. Now that I've said that, when you watch the film, he accelerates quickly, makes the first man miss every single time. He's a tough guy to take down. His yards after the catch, I've seen everything. Like, oh, he's one of the top guys yards after the catch or yards after contact. I don't see that. So I don't know who's making those numbers up. Now, when he was a receiver, yards after catch as a receiver, yes, he was one of the top in college football. So when he's in the open field, I mean, it doesn't matter how fast he is or how athletic he is, but for some reason, they can't get him to the ground. He goes to the end zone. So that was when he catches the ball as like a screener. But as a runner, yards after contact, I've heard several pundits talk about it. I don't know what they're looking at, but I think that he goes down when he's tackled. I didn't see him. I don't see him being like Christian Okoye, you know, breaking tackles. I do see the first man miss thing every single time. His vision is so good. When you're coming at him, he's taking a different angle, and you're not getting him. So even in his press conference, he said, the first man's not going to get me. Listen, I'm on your side. I want you to work out because I'm a Buccaneers fan. I agree with you 100%. The first guy does not take you down. He fights for extra yards, very similar to Mark Ingram. Used to play for Alabama, played for New Orleans. Mark Ingram was one of those guys that got underneath the pile and still moved his knees up like another half yard. And you can watch Mark Ingram do it over and over and over again. That's why he had a long NFL career. Bucky Irving does something very similar. He gets down low to the ground. As he's going down, he makes sure he pushes up another half yard. It's something that you have to have inside of you. You know, you have to have that dog in you, that competitiveness, that determination. And Bucky Irving has that. He has that in spades. Like, he's like a guy that wants to do well. And you can see, again, that Jason Light likes these kind of guys. I personally had Ray Davis as the guy that I wanted. He's a guy that was more physical of a back, bigger size. And then you had Estime, who later went to Denver, another guy that I thought was one of the top running backs in the NFL draft. And we're going to see how Bucky Irving compares to Ray Davis and Estime, because those guys went later in the draft. And the other thing about Bucky Irving is he's a part-time back, right? So you drafted a guy, you know, in the fourth round to compliment Rashard White. And I personally would not have wanted that. I wanted you to draft a guy that would push White to be the starter, not just have a guy that's going to touch the ball 10 times a game and be explosive, right? I wanted a guy that would come in and push. Can Bucky Irving push Rashard White for the starting position? At this point, from what I've seen so far, he can't. He's not a blocker, so he's going to have to learn how to pass block. Which, you know, you can say what you want. Was Barry Sanders a pass blocker? Listen, I've heard all of that. You still got a pass block in the NFL. Work done, pass blocked, right? Work done, same size as Bucky Irving. He pass blocked, okay? You have to learn how to do it. Bucky Irving doesn't do it very well. So for him to see the field, to even compete with Rashard White, he's going to have to do the pass blocking. He's going to have to take on a bigger load and get those carries. And we'll see how that goes. Now, the screen game is going to be extremely effective with Bucky Irving and McMillan. So I can see what they were doing with the players that got on the field. But Bucky Irving was not my first choice at running back, and we're gonna follow the other two careers and see how it goes. I understand that Cohen said that this was the best for his offense. They run an offense similar to the Miami Dolphins. They said that Bucky Irving could start for the Miami Dolphins, that he's very similar to the running back last year that had a really good rookie start and then got hurt. It's escaping my name. His name is escaping me right now. But again, I understand the offense is run, and I understand you draft players to run your offense, but sometimes there's just players that are better than others, and sometimes I would just rather have the better player. Cohen, the offensive coordinator of the Bucs, said Monday, he's dynamic when he gives us the ability to run and pass, which is true because Bucky Irving is a wide receiver. Running backs coach Skip Pete and Irving has the ability to create big plays that could serve him well when it comes to vying Rashard White and replacing him in the backfield on those downs. Undersized backs who excel in pass-catching capability are a valuable commodity in today's NFL. This is according to Next Gen. For every Austin Eckler, which is a guy that's very similar size, or Kyren Williams, which is the exact size of Bucky Irving, is Kyren Williams out of Notre Dame who plays for the Rams, but he's a very physical running back for his size. Smaller backs like Bryce Love and Ito Smith, who didn't work out. So basically what this article is saying is for every Austin Eckler, there's a Bryce Love. So this size of a running back is very hard to predict. We'll see how it goes. At Oregon, he ran very wide open offense with bubble screen, bubble screen, bubble screen, short pass, behind the line of scrimmage passes. A lot of his runs were in the shotgun. I think 98% of his runs were in the shotgun. So I think we're going to do a lot of play action. I don't know if we're going to do a lot of running out of the shotgun, but we'll see because I haven't really seen what Leon Combe is going to do. So obviously I talked about pass protection being an issue. Across three seasons in college, he never averaged lower than 9.6 yards after the catch, which is what I was talking about. He's a receiver. His 526 yards after catch in 23 ranked best amongst all college football running backs. I told you that he is a weapon as a receiver for sure. In 2023, Irvin, he ran exclusively out of the shotgun. So this is where I was talking about. 98% of his carries were out of the shotgun for 6.7 yards. Irvin was featured at times as jet sweeps to get him the ball in the move. He continued to become more and more the disciplined and patient. So basically, Bucky Irving is a guy that has terrific vision, and he can make the first guy miss. And we're all going to get to see how that translates in the NFL. Moving on to round six, guard Elijah Klein out of UTEP. This is a Jason-like clone guy. Next Gen has him at a 5.92, 6'4", 306 pounds. This guy is just a mauler. Texas El Paso, very physical player. Reminds me a lot of Kappa, a lot of the Kappa film that I watched. He's very, very similar to that. He's got a lot of starts under his belt, which is incredible. 55 starts total in college from 2018 to 2023. 55 starts is insane. He basically started all of his stuff at right guard, right guard, right guard, right guard. He had a couple of starts at tackle, but he's basically a right guard. So if you heard in minicamp that Elijah Klein was lining up at right guard, you were correct. And then all these rumors about moving Mock to left guard and keeping Elijah Klein at right guard, I think that you're going to see Mock and Klein fighting out the right guard spot, because I think Hainsey is going to be in the mix for the left guard, I hope, as well as the Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles guys that we signed to play left guard. But anyway, Jason Light's got a ton of depth, which I really love, on the offensive line. But 55 starts, team captain. His RAS score was 5.60, which puts him like middle. His explosion grade was extremely poor. That's his vertical and broad. He's not much of an athlete as far as that. He's more of a bowling ball. He just destroys people in front of him. There's really nothing about his athletic score that I want to go over besides his hand size at 10. His arm length at 34.25 is good. But I can tell you that I watched enough tape on him to tell you that at his competition level, he was destroying people. And that was really interesting to me to see just another physical, strong guy. He has premium length. He has good upper body power, great footwork, really tight hips. So like when you watch him, this is not a guy that's going to pull. So he's not going to get to the second level or the third level, like say a Barton. A Barton is Michael Jordan compared to Elijah Klein. Elijah Klein is more like, like a Larry Bird or a McHale. If you guys are old Boston Celtics fans, he doesn't move like Jordan, but they're solid players, but they're not as athletically gifted as, say, Grant Barton is. But Elijah Klein is a guy, again, he reminds me a lot of Kappa when you watch the tape. He destroys linebackers, which is one of my favorite notes that I put in here. If you watch him, he seems to have an infinity for, like, finding linebackers and knocking them on their butt, which I absolutely love to watch. So he's definitely is a lot of fun. Now, his hands are, because they're 10, he's got 10-inch hands, but he's got these big, strong, like, I don't know, farm boy hands. And then when you try to put your hands on him, he just smack, smack, smack. I'm like, he's like very, very strong at the point of attack. But what I think, what he's going to find in the NFL where he's going to struggle, he does not move. Like, he's going to see defensive linemen and linebackers moving like he's never seen. And he's going to have to work on that stiffness, or he's just going to be a backup in the NFL. But with the way he plays with his punch and his physicality and the way he technically he can block. I mean, and his 55 starts in college. This is a guy that has a chance, and I wish him the best. And it's, I told you, when it comes to offensive linemen, Jason Light doesn't miss. I mean, I feel like Jason Light saw something in this guy, and I think he's going to be great. Seventh round, 246, Devlin Culp out of Washington. Next Gen Stats has him at 6'3", 231, 32-inch arms, 9.5-inch hands, 5.69 overall. His total score athletically was ranked 12th out of tight ends. 2018, he redshirted as a freshman. He played 12 games as a sophomore. No statistics. He was just a blocker. In 2020, he played in two games with one start, had one catch. 21, he had five catches. 22, he played in all 13 games, had 29 catches for 266 and two TDs. 2023, last year's national championship march, he was an honorable mention All Pac-12 Conference Player of the Year. He played in 15 games with eight starts. He had 16 catches for 208 yards, 13 yards a catch, and two TDs. This guy is impressive as far as speed. We've talked about that. I don't know what Devlin Culp is going to be. I know that he came when he was at the draft combine, he was 6'3", 231, which would rank him very poor size-wise as an NFL tight end. When he reported to Bucks minicamp, he was 256. So I don't know which one is right, but it looks like he put on 20 pounds since March of muscle. So maybe he hit the gym hard. His 40-yard dash time at 4.487 was number one. He was the fastest player at his position in the draft. That's elite. His 20-yard split was elite, and his 10-yard split was elite. So the guy can move in space. He's extremely fast. He has good hands. And the fact that he put on 20 pounds, I hope that didn't affect his speed. Let's just see what he was doing. He was lining up in three wide receiver sets in minicamp. That's why it's important for me to watch the rookie minicamp before I do this podcast, because I wanted to see how they were going to use him. They're not using him as a blocker, guys. They're using him as a wide receiver slash tight end as another weapon. So we're going to see how that goes. He loves to catch the ball, which is, I thought he had really good hands when I watched him. I think he had very strong hands. His route running is like a wide receiver. So I can see what they're seeing in this guy, because he's like, okay, he's not a terrific blocker and he doesn't have a lot of size. But let me just tell you something. Who's going to cover this guy? A linebacker is going to cover this guy? Come on. Devlin Culp's going to run right by a linebacker. So if Devlin Culp ever becomes something in the NFL, they're going to have to put a safety over top on him. If he ever becomes what they want him to be and use his speed, we'll see how it goes. But good hands, elite speed. He put on some weight because he wants to block. But Devlin Culp could give us a really interesting tight end for a pass blocker and possibly wide receiver three sets. I watched all of his film because I watched all the Washington film because of Penix. So I thought he was very, very good. And I thought there's no way he's going to get the ball with three NFL wide receivers between Ndunze, Polk, and McMillan. It's pretty hard to get the ball. So let's see what happens if he's featured a little bit in the preseason and see how he does.
All right. Sean is now going to get to the undrafted free agents and tryout players. Remember, you can ask Sean for the Joe Bucks fan discount at Bill Curry Ford. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Email him a question. Give him a call. BillCurryFord.com.
Undrafted free agent signings. Kalen DeLoach, out of linebacker out of Florida State. 5'11", 210, very small guy. Very fast guy. Ran a 4.47 40. Had 212 tackles, 24 tackles for loss, and 11 sacks in his career at Florida State. Right now, he is a lead guy to make the team as a off-the-ball linebacker. I believe that the coaches during Bucks minicamp were really raving about him. Very, very similar player with his speed and size, you know, to all of the past Bucks linebackers, it seems like, that we love these little guys that are good textbook tacklers who can drop into pass coverage and have good speed. DeLoach is just another guy. He had a fifth-round grade, somehow didn't get drafted. The Bucks were awesome to sign him. Antonio Greer, linebacker out of Arkansas. He also transferred to USF, so he's a local guy, 6'1", 230 pounds. Had 10 sacks, so he has some pass-rushing ability. Ran a 4.63 40. We signed him. I think he's going to be a camp guy. Grinziak, defensive end out of Houston. He played at Cincinnati, Utah State, and Nevada. He's 6'1", 245, so very, very small guy. Ran a 4.58 40, but yet very fast, had 19.5 sacks. So here's a guy Lots of sack production, not a lot of size for the NFL, but a great 40. Rashard Wisdom, a safety, 5'9", 210 pounds, 314 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. He ran a 4.9 40 at the combine, should have been drafted. Here's a guy that I think has a chance to make the practice squad. Tyreek Funderburk, cornerback. He played at Richmond, 6 foot, 185 pounds, 123 tackles, 2.5 sacks. 11 interceptions. So this guy's a ball hawk. So obviously we signed this guy because he has a knack for catching the football. So this guy, Tyreek Funderburk, might be a guy to keep an eye on with his ball skills. Because you know, with Todd Bowles always talking about turnovers, right? So that might be a guy. He also had 14 reps on the bench press, which I wrote that that's pretty good. Marcus Banks, safety out of Alabama, Mississippi State guy. Also, these guys, man, all these guys are transferring. 73 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 interception, 1 fumble. Last year, 5 pass deflections and a defensive touchdown. Ran a 4.45 at the combine. Extremely impressive. DJ Williams, running back out of Florida State. Obviously, played at Auburn as well. And he had time at Arizona, which is where he finished his career. So Auburn, Florida State, Arizona. Obviously, Rashard White's home. 5'10", 225 pounds. A very big physical back. Which is, again, something that the Bucs really lack, is a big back like him. He had 1,394 yards and 14 touchdowns in his career. He had a 4.59 40 at 5'10", 225. DJ Williams has an outside chance of making this roster, guys, because we don't have a back his size. Chris McDonald, cornerback out of Toledo. My old coach is the offensive coordinator there. Shout out to Robert Wiener. But Toledo's put a couple of guys in the NFL this year, which is really great. 5'10", 192 pounds, 141 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. Over his career, ran a 4.46. So you guys see a theme in Jason Light's undrafted free agents. All of them are fast. Judge Culpepper, defensive tackle, obviously Penn State, Toledo. He is the son of Brad Culpepper, former Bucks great. 6 foot, 293 pounds, 132 tackles, 19 tackles for loss. 13.5 sacks. So you can go ahead and write it down. Judge Culpepper will make the NFL roster. I think he makes the team. You guys can script that down on May 18th. Zach Anstead, quarterback out of Illinois State, 6'2", 225. This guy's just a camp guy. Xavier Delgado, offensive lineman out of Missouri. He had 41 total starts. 6'4", 329 pounds, very big guy. Ran a 5'2 at the combine. That is a practice squad guy. I think that just his size alone and his starts makes him intriguing to me. I like guys who have a lot of starts in college football. Avery Jones, offensive lineman out of Auburn, 6'4", 307, just gigantic guy. Not much else about him that I know. Latrell Jones, wide receiver out of Southern Miss, 6'1", 195. There's a lot of highlights on this guy, 46 catches, 622, and 3 touchdowns, 4.49, 40, 4.41, 20-yard shuttle, 6.9, 3 cone. Did a 15 bench press rep. So just a camp guy. They're just going to take a look at him. Cameron Johnson, wide receiver out of Barton College. Another guy they're going to take a look at. 5'10", 170. Not a very – I don't have his 40 time, but it's projected to be 4.59. That's not in stone from his combine because he wasn't invited to the combine. Don't know a lot about him. Sean Peterson, junior linebacker, Florida UCF linebacker. Great size, 6'3", 240. Ran a 4.65 40-yard dash, which is this is a prototypical backup linebacker in the NFL off the ball. So keep an eye on Sean Peterson. Let's see what he can do. He had really great combine numbers for a backup. Demond Williams, defensive tackle, was a tryout player. 6'3", 285 out of Buffalo. Another tryout player, Zach Mathis, wide receiver out of North Dakota State. He's from Tampa. Had a really tremendous career. But ran a very slow 40 time. Another guy from Tampa, John Deedle, tight end. So he's from Tampa, 6'6", 250, good size, had 82 catches for 977 yards. He ran a 4.86 at his pro day. That's not good. Julius Wilkinson, linebacker, another tryout player from Wayne State. Smallish linebacker, but had a tremendous 40 time. So that's another guy. Mayan Ahanatu, obviously another legacy. This is Chidi Ahanatu's kid. Played at Rutgers and Minnesota. 6'4", 300 pounds, 55 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. I'm glad they invited him to camp. I don't see him making the team. Jack Freeman, offensive lineman out of Houston, 6'3", 300 pounds. had 36 career starts. There's a pattern from Jason Light. He likes the guys that I like with the starts. We'll see if he makes it. Mike Thompson, defensive tackle out of Missouri, 56 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. Not much size to him. Tanner New, wide receiver out of Eastern Michigan. Never heard of this guy. Ran a 4.6 40 at the combine. Had 154 receptions for 1,866 yards. Jasper Parks, offensive tackle out of Arizona. Started 28 games. Ran a 5.44 40. 8.3-inch broad jump. Michael Hyers, quarterback. Murray State guy. Had 75% career completion percentage, which is super, to me, that's really good. Passed for 6,500 yards, 54 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. We'll see how that goes. Jeremy Musa, another quarterback. So we have three quarterbacks here. He's at a FMAU, transfer from Vanderbilt, 6'3", 225. 5,700 yards, 44 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions in his career. Don Chapman, defensive back out of North Carolina, 6'1", 200 pounds, 11 tackles for loss, stands out to me. Caleb Chapman, wide receiver, in Carteret Ward. I don't know what that is. 6'5", 220, 64 catches, 1,000 yards, and 11 touchdowns, ran a 4.53. Well, good size and good speed. Really don't know much else about him. But that concludes the NFL draft breakdown, and I'm going to allude a little bit to Jason Light and his national media stuff, just like I said at the beginning. I'm sorry for this running so long. You might have to listen to it in several sessions, but let me tell you something. The draft deserves a long podcast, and I want to talk about Jason Light really quickly. Jason Light, his draft is unspectacular, according to everyone who's reviewed it. He takes very safe picks, and he doesn't shoot for the stars and take more risky picks. And you know what? I'm okay with it. I like the fact that he drafts high-character guys, and I like the fact that he drafts high-production guys with lots of starts in college. And I, if Grant Barton's not a sexy pick to you, I really don't care. Grant Barton is going to hopefully put in a lot of starts for this team and make this team better. I understand Chris Braswell was the best edge that Jason had left on in the second round, and we needed an edge player. I think McMillan was a safe pick at wide receiver, but it also fits what we're trying to do as a team. Tyke Smith, to me, is another safe pick because it fits Todd Bowles' defense to a T, but doesn't mean he's not a great football player. I mean, maybe none of these guys become superstars except for Grant Barton, but let's just say that Braswell has an above-average career, Tyke Smith has a lot of starts, Jalen McMillan ends up taking over for Godwin and starts and becomes a good, solid 3 or 2 wide receiver. This is a solid draft. One of the comments that was made about Jason Light is he drafts like he's a Super Bowl team, that he's only drafting for depth. I'm okay with that. If Jason Light feels that his team is capable of getting to the playoffs and making noise in the playoffs and he's trying to become more physical, then I support him 100%. And I'm telling you right now, nobody predicted the Bucs going to the second round of the playoffs last year, and nobody predicted the fact that they hung in with the Lions all the way to the end and possibly could have gone to the NFC Championship game with a journeyman quarterback. So for me, Jason Light's done an excellent job. Kudos to Jason Light and his entire team at Joe Bucks Fan. I'm sorry, at One Buck Place. Might as well be Joe Bucks Fan, because Joe Bucks Fan is the largest Buck news organization in the world. So please visit BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials, and especially our Memorial Day specials for veterans. It's very important to me that we always honor our veterans. My father and my brothers who are long past, all serve this country with great pride. And I still carry the water for the armed forces. And I will tell you that they are respected at Bill Curry Ford. And you will definitely feel like you're wanted there. If you're a first responder or you served our country, you will see the difference in what we're trying to do as a guest experience. So please come to Bill Curry Ford. Again, thank you to Joe Bucks Fan, and I'll see you guys next time. Please email me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord with all your questions and comments. Thank you.